Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
We are following up on our conversation with Boone Cutler. Scav happens to be married to the wonderful Miss Rebecca, who is a respiratory tech, works at a sleep center doing sleep studies. So we wanted to follow up and talk to somebody who's an expert on sleep apnea and the things that it can do to you, and what the sleep study procedure is like, just so that you get some more information and you can make a responsible and informed decision about receiving a sleep study and the possibility of receiving treatment. Rebecca, thank you so much for offering to put up with us for an hour.
No problem.
She got to put up with me every day, so now she's got you too.
Right. So, like Boone said, sleep apnea causes a lot of serious issues in the body. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Well, first of all, tell us what you do. You know, tell us why the audience should listen to you.
I do nighttime sleep testing, daytime sleep testing. I actually got into this after working in respiratory therapy for about 10 or 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have experience and you understand the issues that apnea and other things like it can cause. So let's talk about sleep apnea. What, first of all, there are two types of apnea. Tell us about that.
Yes. So the two most common types, obstructive sleep apnea and central sleep apnea. Okay. Obstructive sleep apnea is what we see the most. It's when you go to sleep and, you know, all of the muscles in your body are nice and relaxed. The muscles in your throat and in your tongue also relax and your throat closes off. So you're still trying to breathe, but you just can't because, you know, your throat's closed off. Central sleep apnea is when your brain just stops telling you to breathe. So you're not even trying to.
Okay. And so obstructive sleep apnea is related to heavy snoring?
Yeah, it does. You do typically see heavy snoring when you have obstructive sleep apnea. Gasping, snorting. Typically that's when the wives are elbowing their husbands saying, you know, hey, roll over. You're driving me crazy. I can't sleep.
Okay. What are some of the symptoms, I guess, of how would you tell the difference without a sleep study if it was central sleep apnea?
You know, we do still see, you know, spouses will say, you know, I notice he, you know, and it's not always, I don't want to make it sound like it's always wives saying, you know, I notice my husband, but we do typically hear wives saying it more. I don't know if they just pay attention more, but the wives are usually saying, you know, I notice my husband's not breathing sometimes when he's sleeping. They notice the pauses, you know, so you wouldn't necessarily hear the snoring as much, but they do notice that their spouse is not breathing. We do have patients coming in complaining that they just feel tired all the time and they don't know why. You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. I remember that. I was always tired before I got diagnosed and I never knew what was going on until I had a sleep study.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other, so the symptoms that we can notice of apnea, stopping breathing during the night, heavy snoring.
Yes.
Any other symptoms?
Not really having any energy during the day, not wanting to do anything.
Pretty much feeling like shit.
Yeah.
And well, now we know from other scientific studies that sleep deprivation can cause personality issues and even psychosis. So do you have any experience with misdiagnosed psychological issues that more likely were from lack of sleep?
No, we don't really see a whole lot of that. You know, you are more irritable, mm-hmm. you know, from the lack of sleep. You're more prone to having headaches. But I can't really say that I have seen anybody that has had a psychosis from their sleep apnea.
Okay. I just know that that's one thing that deprivation has been proven to cause. So,
mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring it up is because I stopped breathing 116 times an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I have an extremely high apnea number.
Yes.
And, the doc told me that, or my respiratory therapist said, you know, you're getting less than 30 minutes of sleep a night. It's a wonder you're not psychotic.
Yes.
Just something the audience should be aware of.
Now, did you have Skeeter before your sleep test?
Yes. I'd had it for about 5 years.
Now, what's the chances that Skeeter was waking you up? Not necessarily, I know he does nightmare stuff, but what's the chances that he was waking you up when you quit breathing?
Probably pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, we had actually talked about that. You know, he's like, "Hey, dude, you're dead. Get up."
Yeah, that's it's very possible that a lot of times when you jump up on the bed, it wasn't. See, I have this weird thing. I don't remember my dreams.
Right.
So I can't tell you why Skeeter woke me up, because I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't remember a damn nightmare I have, but Beck will, she'll wake me up and say, "Hey, you know, and you're having a nightmare," but I don't remember a single one. I'm covered in sweat and mm-hmm. breathing like hell. And I don't remember. I'm like, "You sure?"
Yeah. So yeah, it's very possible that Skeeter was interrupting nightmares, and it's just as possible that Skeeter was waking me up because I wasn't breathing. And I don't know, because I don't remember my dreams, I can't tell you which one it was.
Yeah. We have had patients come in, and tell us that just from their family pets that, you know, they let sleep in their beds with them, and they'll say, you know, "I swear my dog wakes me up so much in the middle of the night because they know I'm not breathing." Mm-hmm. And I totally believe that. If you have a strong enough bond with your pet, that they will do that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I don't think that's far-fetched in any way, shape, or form. I mean, Skeeter kept me from dropping into a diabetic coma. He would keep me, you know, try to kickstart me and get me breathing again.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about some of these symptoms of sleep apnea itself, the indicators that you have apnea. What are some of the things that sleep apnea can do to your body?
Okay. So the first major thing is trauma on your heart. So each time that you have apnea, it causes your oxygen level to drop. And each time your oxygen drops, of course, it causes increased work for your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when your, you know, oxygen level drops, it, you know, decreases oxygen all through your body, your heart has to work harder to get oxygen to the rest of your body, which increases your blood pressure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you increase your blood pressure, that also increases your chances for a stroke. So increased blood pressure increases your chance for a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what Boone was telling us during our interview with him, because, you know, his heart was almost complete shit, and which ended up him going to Panama.
Yeah.
Because of sleep apnea.
Well, and let me tell you though, because I've experienced waking up abruptly, gasping for breath, and my heart pounding.
Yes. Yeah,
just now, like hurting like hell.
Yeah,
right?
Just, oh, you know, and I always assumed, because I don't remember my nightmares, that, and this was before I had my CPAP, I always assumed that it was nightmares. Now I'm coming to realize, no, it was because my heart was trying to kickstart my breathing because it was working too hard, you know, and my blood pressure was shooting through the roof because I stopped breathing.
Yes.
So that's if you don't have a spouse who's observing your sleep, if you wake up gasping with your heart trying to leap through your chest, it's possible that is a sign of apnea.
Yes.
Yeah. See, to me, it's a nightmare living with a sleep tech because every night I go to bed, I get a sleep study. You know what I mean? But I talk to people all the time and they're always, you know, kind of joking around about, well, I got to go have a sleep study or stupid sleep study. Or I don't know why I got to go through this bullshit. Motherfucker, you're, like, hey, you're going to die.
It's not stupid. Go yeah. do it. Go do it.
And those are the words that come out of my mouth and there's just the shock and awe on their face. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you have no idea what you're going through in the middle of the night. Your ass is not going to wake up one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very real fear. I mean, that is literally a very real possibility. When I went to visit Mark Zen, the editor of my book in Colorado 2 years ago, we went up to his camp up in the mountains and there's no electricity. So I couldn't use my CPAP. So take me from not very far above sea level here in North Carolina. I don't know, might be at 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 feet to 10,000 feet, and don't give me a CPAP. Let me tell you, I was doing that, waking up gasping and panicking and gasping for air. I don't know how often but frequently.
Yeah.
And I had a horrible night's sleep. I felt like I'd been, you know, I don't know, running up and down the mountain all night.
Yeah.
And it was just miserable. I'm glad we only spent one night up there. I don't know if I would have made it two nights.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of a reminder. Hey, this CPAP works miracles for you. You know, the next night I was back down in Colorado Springs with Nevermore. So I was able to, you know, stay in a hotel and plug in my CPAP and breathe. And it was much more pleasant. You know, it was a reminder, kind of a very abrupt and brutal reminder, hey, you actually rely on this machine and don't take it for granted and don't forget to use it. And what was really funny was the VA called me after that trip and they said, how come you're not using your CPAP machine? And I'm like, huh? You know, I said, in the last 6 months, I've only not used it one night. Well, you know, the CPAPs have a built-in, the new ones have a built-in comms chip.
Yes.
That broadcasts your usage and your sleep patterns over the cellular phone system.
Yes.
Well, my comms chip had died.
Oh.
So although I had, I have the SD card that shows that I used the thing every night. It wasn't broadcasting to the company that makes the CPAPs.
Yes.
So they replaced my
CPAP. On it.
Again?
Your cell chip died on it.
Yeah, huh? My cell chip died. So they replaced my CPAP. So, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this one? They're like, keep it. That's a backup. So I have a backup. Same machine, same model and everything. Just have the, so when I fall asleep in my chair, I have a CPAP in the living room.
And, you know, that you talking about that, using it when you're like napping in your chair is awesome because so many people don't realize like, oh, well, I only need to use it when I'm in bed at night sleeping. No, mm-hmm. You need to use it anytime you're sleeping. Like mm-hmm. You have sleep apnea whenever you're asleep, not just when you're in bed asleep. It happens no matter where you're sleeping.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's very, important. And folks, listen, if you don't think that it's, you think we're blowing this thing, all this, making stuff happen to your heart, you've blown it out of proportion. Go to Boone Cutler's page and go back to last year around, was it April, I think he said?
I believe so. Just
go find the video of Boone in a wheelchair and watch it. He's talking with his buddy about they were on the way to Panama to go get stem cell therapy. And this man was literally on death's door. He looked like he had one foot in the grave. He couldn't walk because his heart wasn't holding up to it. He would pass out. He had to ride a wheelchair through the airport to get on the plane. He could barely hold the conversation with his friend. He was so sick. And this was all caused by sleep apnea. What does this have to do with service dogs? You know what? Not a whole lot. But if you've got TPI and you've got PTSD, most likely you have sleep apnea. That's what we're talking about. Well, we're reaching out to you, our audience, because we care and we want to give you the right information.
Well, it does have something to do with service dogs, because if you die in your fucking sleep, your dog doesn't have somebody to take care of it the next day.
Yeah, who's gonna feed your dog the next morning? Who's gonna take him outside? Skeeter would explode because he refuses to go to potty in the house. You know,
all right? So
he would just poor guy would rupture and you know. It's folks, we care about you and your health, or we wouldn't be doing this show and talking to you about service dogs and talking about bringing people on to tell you how much difference they make in our lives. This is a part of it. This is especially if you've experienced traumatic brain injury through whatever means, whether it's combat, car accident, abuse, whatever.
Check.
This is a possible symptom that this is a possibility that one of your symptoms from that traumatic brain injury and from PTSD is apnea.
Right.
And so there are, it's like a ripple effect. There are effects of the caused by the apnea that can kill you because it's ruining your heart. Rebecca, let's talk about just the standard procedure for a sleep test. What can somebody expect when they go do a sleep study?
Okay. So where I work now, I work in a hospital-based sleep lab. Mm-hmm. They are not all in a hospital. Actually, there are probably more sleep labs that are independent, which means they are just in buildings out like a just independent out, just in any building outside, in a shopping center or whatever. They've just built them wherever.
Little satellite places.
Yeah. You come in, hours start at 9 p.m. So you come in at 9 p.m. Most people actually show up in their pajamas. We ask for you to come in with no makeup on, clean, dry hair, because we're going to hook you up to about 25 wires, no needles, but the wires are very sticky. So we put about 15 wires on your head. We measure ear to ear from the bridge of your nose to the back of your head. We make these little markings with a little China marker, which is a colored pencil. We make all these little markings so we know exactly where the wires are going to go on your head. And that just coincides with certain parts of your brain. Now, those wires on your head are going to show us your brain waves. And that's how we know when you're awake and when you're asleep. And that, shows the doctor that's reading your sleep study, if you go through all of your sleep stages the way you're supposed to. So we want to make sure that you are going through all of your sleep stages. If you spend the appropriate amount of time in the sleep stages like you're supposed to, and that you rotate through them normally throughout the night.
Now, when you say sleep stages, you're talking like REM and...
Yeah, so wake. Stage one is when you're first going to sleep. Stage two is actually the stage of sleep that you spend the most time in. Stage three, or slow wave sleep, is actually your deepest stage of sleep. And then REM sleep is when you're dreaming.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's talk about the importance of the different stages of sleep a little bit, because I think it's important to understand why not sleeping or having trouble sleeping and stopping breathing. This is your brain's defragmentation process, these different stages of sleep. Is that correct?
Yes. So the most important stage of sleep is actually stage three, the deepest state of sleep. That is when your brain is resting the most. Mm-hmm. That and REM sleep, REM is also important, your dreaming stage. Those are the two stages that actually are interrupted the most when you have apnea. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you have apnea, when you start breathing, it interrupts, you go out of those stages. So, you know, you're sleeping, you go into stage three or REM sleep, and you're breathing right along, and then you stop breathing and you have what we call an arousal, and it's just an awakening. So you may not actually realize that you're awake. You're not awake to the point that you're looking around the room. But it takes you out of that stage of sleep. So in your case, when you said you stopped breathing 116 times?
Yeah, 116.
Okay, so when you do that 116 times an hour, that is 116 times that you have gone out of your stage of sleep. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes you tired. Your brain is not getting into that restful stage of sleep the way that it is supposed to. So you're just exhausted. You know, you're not getting that, you know, as you said, at the defragmentation that you need. You're not getting to decompress. So your brain's just not resting the way that it is supposed to.
That'd be like somebody, a baby crying every time you just fall back to sleep 116 times.
Yeah. And that, folks, that does have psychological ramifications.
Yes.
Not letting your brain get the nightly reset that it needs does add to your stress levels, your anxiety. If you're tired all the time, think about PTSD. Think about how you feel on a day-to-day basis. Think about how much worse your anxiety is when you are exhausted.
Oh, you're a complete bitch, you're bastard.
How much less control you have over your own behavior when you're too tired to even think, you know? And interruptions in your sleep have a lot to do with that. I became a much cheerier person after I got a CPAP and actually sleep.
Oh, I'm so thankful you've had a sleep study. And I look at you now. Yeah.
But I mean, I had, you know, my memory issues were unbelievable. Yes. They're still terrible. PTSD messes up your short-term memory. But my memory issues were so bad, I had to do things like set alarms to remember to take my meds.
Yes.
Set alarms to remember when to eat. Set alarms to, I mean, it just, I had to try and make, I had to write down everything or I wouldn't remember a darn thing. I mean, it was terrible. The reason I would remember to feed Skeeter was because Skeeter would come tell me he was hungry.
Right.
You know, it just, it has an effect on all aspects of your life, including your mental health. If you're always exhausted, that leads to depression, that increases anxiety, that feeds the rage. This is all tied in. Look, when you use a service dog, you're not just treating your brain. You're treating your body too, because you have to walk your dog. You get more exercise. You're challenging yourself. You're learning to relate to other people. And so you're communicating again. It's all inclusive. It is holistic, and your sleep is part of that. So why are we doing this again? Why are we saying this? Like I said, we're following up with the conversation we had with Boone Cutler.
Now, Boone did say something when he was here. He said he had smoked his weed or his inhaler. Are you allowed to use medical marijuana, sleeping pills, anything like that when you come in for a sleep study?
Now, we do tell our patients that anything that they take at home on a regular basis, they can take when they come in to have their sleep study done. You know, we don't have a whole lot of people that come in with medical marijuana. I did have somebody that, you know, drinks a beer every night before he goes to bed. So yes, he brought his beer in with him and had his beer before he went to bed. We do have a lot of people that take their Ambien before they go to bed. We don't prescribe any of that stuff, so they do have to bring it with them. I did have somebody that brought in their vaping pen with them. I cannot honestly say that I had anybody bring their marijuana with them. So I can't say that we would discourage it if it's something that is prescribed to them.
Okay.
But we don't have that right to tell them no.
But, is it legal in your state?
It is not yet. No.
Okay. So I think the cautionary thing to say there is if it's legal in your state, it most likely would not be an issue because they want you to follow your normal routine.
Right.
Don't try to take medical marijuana to the VA for a sleep study. It is federal property. It is still federally illegal, and you will get arrested for a federal felony crime.
Yeah.
Don't do it, please.
And we just happen to be talking to a civilian sleep study, sleep study tech. So let's separate this.
Yeah, please.
Now here's a good question.
Be smart,
because we are in a service dog realm.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if somebody brings a service dog in?
Now, I know you guys had talked about this on one of your previous shows. This has not come up for us yet, but we share our office with girls that do EEG testing for seizures, mm-hmm. and they did have somebody that came in with a little dog. And I will tell you that I severely questioned whether this was a service dog or not. He claimed that it was. But I will tell you the dog did not walk down the hallway. He drug the dog down the hallway with the leash. the dog did lay in bed with him and they did allow the dog to stay. And he did lay with the man very nicely. We would not tell them no. The dog would be allowed to stay with them all night if it was a legitimate service dog. Actually, as you know, they our security guards did get a very nice in service after you visited the hospital with Scout. So I think our hospital is pretty aware of how to handle service animals now.
And the hospital and the sleep study center is allowed to ask the two questions.
Oh, yes. They're very familiar with these two questions.
Well, this is for the audience sake. I'm saying,
oh yeah.
And ask, is that a service dog required because of a disability?
Yes.
And what tasks is it trained to perform?
Yes.
The law says they can ask that.
Yes.
And if your dog's not behaving, they can tell you no.
Yes.
Now, my caution is, and there's two reasons I didn't take Skeeter to the sleep study. First of all, it was at the VA, and the VA is being the VA. It just was, the sleep center was on the fifth floor, I think, of the Detroit VA.
Wow.
And after 8 p.m., they lock the building, except for the emergency room. So
right.
If he had you know, something happened, he had an emergency, and he needed to go potty at 2:30 in the morning, I had no way to get him out and get back into the sleep study safely. If
right.
I got up and left that room, I was done. Okay? So that's one reason I didn't take him. The other reason I didn't take him, and this was at the request of the doctor, is I explained that one of his tasks is nightmare interruption.
Right.
So if I went into REM sleep during this study and had a nightmare and Skeeter did his job, which he does, and woke me up, that would have interfered with the ability of the sleep study. It would have interrupted the continuity of the sleep study, and they would not have had an accurate reading of what was going on in my sleep.
Right. So,
honestly, and this is something you need to be real frank and honest with yourself about, folks, is look, if your dog is trained for nightmare interruption and you're going in for a sleep study, it's absolutely right. You're right to have your dog. But we're talking about your life here.
Right.
You want the absolute most accurate sleep study you can get. So if the dog could interfere with the sleep study, it's not in your best interest for your health to take your dog. Was it hard going to sleep without Skeeter? Yes, it was. Skeeter puts me to sleep every night with deep pressure therapy. He literally lays on me and puts me to sleep every night. So I had a tough time. Did I have nightmares? I don't remember. You know, but I'll tell you, it was, and it was hard when they were done and they took all the stuff off of me at 5:30 in the morning, told me to get dressed, kicked me out. You know, then I was in a strange place because it's not my normal hospital. And the Detroit VA is not in a good part of town. And so I'm, you know, on my cell phone calling my ride going, hey, you know, bring Skeeter, come get me now. So it's just something, but you really need to think about it because you want the most accurate test you can get, folks.
I agree 100%.
If your dog could interfere with that, it is in your own best interest not to take your dog.
Right. And it is excellent that you realized that and you knew that you needed to leave him at home.
It's going to be a hard decision for people to make, but they need to make that decision.
But it might be the right decision.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio free of charge.
Okay, listen up. Before we start this, understand what it is. The Spartan Pledge is a battle drill. It's what to do when you don't know what to do. Remember that.
I will be the last to fall.
Two things every warfighter needs.
I won't shed a tear for them to see.
Is a battle buddy and a mission. Repeat after me. I will not take my own life by my own hand.
I will not take my own life by my own hand.
Until I talk to my battle buddy first. My mission is to find a mission. To help my warfighter family. Thank you. You've now taken the Spartan Pledge. Don't let it die here. You are now authorized to go and tell other people, other warfighters. You don't take it for yourself, you take it for them. It's an agreement so they know where to go when they're having problems. Take this, go give it to others. All the way. Make it happen. Give it to others. Make it happen.
DV Radio.
WDVR to Purple Fart Box. Status. Over.
Oh, boss. We're snafu here.
Snafu. Situation normal.
All held up.
Coming soon from our very own Snap News. Every branch has it.
Scrap and give me push-ups.
No one wants to be it.
You will continue to do push-ups until you learn to address me as first sergeant. Use that plan.
The Snap Music Hour.
Where the hell have you been, soldier?
Right here on WDDRDVRadio.net.
That's a fact, Jack!
Stay tuned to DVRadio.net for more information.
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
On February 5th, the Department of Transportation published a set of proposed rule changes for air travel with service dogs in the Federal Register. This 94-page document is complex, but could have an adverse effect on the lives of every disabled handler of a task-trained service dog, as well as the disabled owners of emotional support animals. The future of equal rights for disabled people as we know it could be jeopardized by some of these proposed rule changes. As stakeholders, it is in the best interest of all disabled people to register their comments on this NPRM before the deadline of April 6th, 2020. Please go to the regulations.gov website, search for the notice titled Traveling by Air with Service Animals, and click on the Comment Now link in the upper right corner to make your voice heard. Remember to be polite and professional so that your comment will be registered. Together, we can ensure that the voices of disabled handlers of task-trained service dogs are heard.
DV Radio.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
Radio.
You're listening to Barrett's Talk on DVRadio.net.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
Well, we still have Rebecca with us. Thank you for sticking around. Since you do work in the medical field, I'm sure you've been getting briefing after briefing, but we also, we promised you guys that we'd bring her on and we'd talk about apnea a bit more in depth and the damage it can do your body. We do that because, listen, we're talking about your health. We're talking about all of your health. The word holistic has been abused, but what it means is looking at every aspect of your well-being, and that includes your sleep. So speaking of health, we need to talk about the 900-pound gorilla in the room, which is COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, and the things that are going on in our country right now. And
man, that gorilla gets bigger every damn day.
It does. And we do not want any of you to be panicked. So the first thing I would like to say is, look, folks, we're all at risk. Anybody can catch it. Some people are more susceptible than others, and some people can get sicker and it can be worse for them than other people. If you are one of the people who is at risk, you know you're at risk. You've got diabetes, you have pulmonary issues, you have respiratory issues. You understand this already. You're already, if you have a compromised immune system, if you're fighting cancer, you already are aware. And you're all probably already taking steps to make sure that you keep your hands clean, don't touch your face, and that you pay attention to your environment and the cleanliness of your environment. If you aren't doing that, then why are you panicking? If you know that you're one of the people who has the possibility of being more susceptible to virus, and you're not taking extra care of yourself already, if you're not living more carefully, why are you panicking now?
Right.
Because the flu could have taken you out 3 months ago. just because you're not taking the necessary precautions with the understanding that you're an at-risk person. And that's really, you know, honestly, panicking is the problem. Panicking, people panic buying, people just seem to have lost all reason and they're overreacting. And we don't need to overreact, okay? We need to remain calm. We need to do our best with the way that the continuity of our daily existence has been changed right now with closures and isolation. We still can go get groceries. We can still go order from a restaurant and pick it up at the curb or get it delivered. This is a great opportunity. Look, one of the few things that I could do as work is delivery, like for Dine and Dash or the one that delivers groceries. It doesn't matter what it is, but this is something that maybe some of us who are disabled but are capable of doing things like shopping can do. So here's a possible opportunity for you when other people are isolating. And if you're not at increased risks, and if you take the proper steps to protect yourself, you might be able to make a little money off of this.
Right.
So, you know, it's not all terrible news. Things are tough right now. Businesses are closing. People are being laid off. People are losing their livelihoods right now. And the last thing we need is to panic.
Yeah. Some of us, it's really not changed much, you know, for some of us nutcase PTSD people who don't like to go out into the world.
Right. We're already socially isolated.
You're right.
Yeah. I'm disabled. I don't work. So this really isn't, you know what I can't do right now? Go sit down and have breakfast at the Waffle House, which I like to do about once every other week, so Skeeter gets a little practice, you know, and I just like the layout of the Waffle House because it's easy for Skeeter and I to get in and out.
Yeah.
Better than some of these crowded little mom and pop restaurants. Nothing wrong with the restaurants. They're just cramped. And so it's a little tougher to maneuver in.
Or buy toilet paper or eggs for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah. Go to, run to the grocery store.
No, but in all seriousness, these people, they're panic buying. And what's sad about it is a lot of these people, they don't have the knowledge for what they have. You know, they went out and they bought all this shit. They don't know how to prepare it. They don't know how to save it. And it's going to go to waste. You know, you bought $400 worth of meat. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to put it in your fridge and watch it rot?
Man, let me tell you, they panic bought the vacuum saver bags. And I'm going, damn it. I had a roll and a half and I used it all. And I'm like, I just need one package of vacuum saver bags. Nope. Gone.
I saw a post from Big Daddy, my admin, and he had it out there in three categories, 1, 2, and 3. And he said, I'm number one. You know, the prepper that was buying the toilet paper when it was on sale and buying the vacuum sealer bags when it was on sale and, you know, canning his own food and stuff over time, kind of like our great-grandparents did in the
During the Great Depression.
Right. Well, growing up, you grow your own food, you can it, you buy the shit when it's on sale and you save it. And then you have it. When this kind of stuff happens, there's no need to go to the store. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have number two who goes out and panic buys the shit out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have number three, the millennials who are going out there and seeing nothing on the shelves or they're all pissed off at everybody else. Like, well, you owe this to me. Why isn't there anything out there?
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of hit that one on the head.
And it's just, you know, folks, listen, we all need to take a step back. We all need to breathe and we all need to look at this as an opportunity. You know, there are two things that I am not seeing in stores right now. The first thing is I'm not seeing motherfucking Fifi the Wonder Poodle. Not seeing entitled people who are not disabled dragging their untrained pets into the store and demanding that they have access and claiming it's a service dog and screaming that they'll sue, you know.
You know,
to take their remove their pet. You know what? They're
that
not.
That is fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah, they're not bringing Fifi the Wonder Poodle. I'm working with Carla on a comic about this. I wrote a piece about it today on the PTS Dog page. It will have been Tuesday when you hear this. But, you know, look, I would never expose my service dog to this, the possibility of this virus.
But you know who you are seeing? Me and Scout and you and Skeeter and all the rest of the legit service dog teams.
Legitimate task trained teams still taking our service dogs. Why? Because it's not a fucking fashion accessory.
But you know what else you're going to see? Me smacking your damn hand if you try to touch my dog. Up,
don't touch my dog. Well, that's the other thing I'm not seeing. So first of all, the entitled Karens aren't bringing Fifi the Wonder Poodle because I don't want to endanger her. Okay, guess what? You know why my service dog's here? Not because I'm ignorantly endangering my service dog. My service dog's here because I actually need my service dog. You, Karen, with the I'd like to speak to manager haircut, bring Fifi the Wonder Poodle because you feel like you're entitled. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. And you threaten to sue everybody every time somebody questions when Fifi's peeing in the meat aisle. Okay? Well, guess what? That's not a service dog. You're either not disabled, or if you are disabled, you haven't bothered to train your service dog appropriately to perform worker tasks to assist you with your disability and to behave in public. It's not a service dog if it doesn't meet those criteria and if you're not disabled. So I would never bring my service dog. Well, guess what? It wasn't a service dog. You're not disabled, okay? And your dog doesn't belong there anyway. However, I still need mine. And thankfully, COVID-19 does not affect, the dog can't catch it, which leads to the second thing we're not seeing. I actually, when I went to Walmart last week to get some necessities because I didn't panic buy, and although I do some degree of prepping, apparently not enough. And a man stopped me to ask if he could not pet Skeeter because of what's going on. And I said, no, you can't pet him because he's a service dog, but it helps that you're afraid of the virus.
Right.
And I kept moving. So that's the other thing, is the random strangers insisting on petting has died off because people who are stupid enough to think that it's their right to interfere with a service dog are also stupid enough to think that they can catch COVID-19 from the service dog. Now, I'm not saying that the dog's fur might not carry the virus. They've shown that the virus can last up to 3 days on plastic surfaces, 1 day, I think, on stainless steel, 3 hours airborne. So there's definitely a possibility that if somebody who had the virus sneezed on or rubbed their face and then pet your dog, there is some possibility that the virus could remain on the dog's fur and be transferred that way.
So if you rub your face on my dog.
Right. Yeah. Then you know you've maybe planted the virus and you have also received the virus.
No, but seriously, if keep your hands off the dog, keep all body parts off the dog.
Yeah.
We should be good.
Yeah. So two beneficial things to service dog handlers, to legitimate handlers of task trained service dogs are happening right now. First of all, Karen's not bringing Fifi the Wonder Poodle. Now, if you have a small breed service dog that is task trained, I am not talking about you. Fifi the Wonder Poodle is a generic term for untrained pets who 9 times out of 10, it is a yappy little dog. I don't care what breed it is. 9 times out of 10, the problematic animals that people complain about and that has created the judgmental atmosphere are little yap dogs.
What's the blonde shithead actress that started it by carrying in her purse?
Paris Hilton.
There you go. That's who we're talking about.
There's nothing to look. If you have a legitimate task-trained service dog, I don't care what breed it is. I don't care if it weighs 6 pounds or 60 pounds, as long as it's healthy. I don't care, okay? I am not discriminating against breed or size. I am just using Fifi the Wonder Poodle as a generic term, just a generic term as I am using Karen. I understand, recognize, and acknowledge that not all women named Karen are Karens. However, all Karens are Karens, no matter what their name is. Okay? It has nothing to do with you, Karen, unless it has to do with you. Okay?
And that goes for you, Karen, on my page. Got it, Karen?
Same Karen. But not a Karen, okay?
Yeah, right.
You know,
she'll be pissing herself when she hears this.
I hope she laughs, because we're not trying to single you specifically out as much as we're singling out a behavior that through the joy of memes has been labeled Karenism.
Oh.
Okay. So look, we really don't, it hasn't been scientifically shown, yes or no, how long or whatever, whether or not, say, somebody sneezes on your dog's fur and they've got COVID-19, if you pet your dog, you could catch it. We don't know that. But we can use people's ignorance and fear of the virus to our advantage by encouraging them to stay away from our dogs in case that fur has COVID-19 on it.
Correct.
We might know it does. I know Skeeter doesn't have COVID-19 on his fur. I am not even remotely worried about it.
The dogs themselves cannot carry it. The fur.
As far as being sick with it. Okay. We're talking about on the surface.
Yeah.
We're talking about on the surface, which leads to the next point, folks. Listen, please don't poison your dog. Do not spray your dog with Lysol, with Clorox. Don't use Clorox wipes on your dog. Lysol wipes. Any disinfectant wipes on your dog. All of those materials are poisonous to your dog, can cause burns, lesions, and death.
Don't wipe them. Don't spray them in gasoline. Don't light them on fire.
There are dog-safe shampoo-based wipes that you can use if you feel that you need to disinfect your dog, or you can bathe your dog with normal dog shampoo. Soap kills viruses.
What are those?
Say antibacterial. A bacteria is not a virus, and all soap is antibacterial.
Right. Use that blue Dawn liquid. We use to decon everything at the fire department.
But yeah, they use it on. They use it to clean oil off of waterfowl from oil spills.
Right.
Regular Dawn is safe, but you don't need that.
You don't. No, you just need regular dog shampoo.
You know what I use, which is perfect and it's incredibly gentle, is K-Bar Soap Company's Ricky Recon, right. Unscented, uncolored, no. Abrasive in it. It's just pure lye soap.
But what you want to do is protect
viruses.
Your skin. Rebecca, what are those gloves you use for doing dishes?
They're just rubber.
They go halfway up your arm.
Yeah, just rubber cleaning gloves.
So if you think somebody's contaminated your dog, you don't want to touch your dog. Make sure you handle them with rubber gloves.
Or if you look, the virus is not skin permeable. You can touch your dog, wash your dog. You're using soap that kills viruses. So it kills the virus on your hands too. Just don't touch your face until you and the dog are clean.
Caution.
Yeah. Just be smart about it. Use some common sense, folks. A little common sense. Don't freak out. Don't panic. It will not kill your dog. Your dog cannot give COVID-19 to you.
We're shutting everything down up here. I mean, my work, I'm going to be one of the last people in my office building. We're spraying everything down with disinfectant. We're wiping everything down. Everybody that's in the office is leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We made them work from home. We packed up all their computers and sent them home. If you got internet, you're going home to work. I mean, it's they're taking that kind of control. So, you know, I don't know what else you can do to protect people besides send them home to work. The governor of West Virginia just shut everything down. You can go to the grocery store, keep your distance from people.
Yep.
Yep. It just, yeah, you know, folks, listen, we understand that you're concerned and we are concerned too, but we also want you not to let the threat of this disease put you back in your recovery, in your healing, in your growth.
Right. You don't need to dig a bunker.
No. This is not the end of the world. And honestly, even if you do catch it, you have a very, very high chance of survival.
Right.
As long as you take appropriate steps.
You don't need to buy everything on a grocery store shelf.
Nope. We need to relax. We need to calm down, breathe, and understand that the supply lines are still open.
Yes.
Semis are still shipping groceries. Toilet paper is still being manufactured.
Listen, I work for a wholesale outfit. My job is IT. My company deals groceries and tobacco for the most part. My trucks are leaving out of there every day to supply grocery stores, convenience stores, and tobacco shops. And we are busier than hell. Yep. You know, we're picking up, we're dropping off.
As long as the 18-wheelers and the trains keep running in this country, we're fine.
And you can ask JJ. I sent him a picture today with my get-out-of-jail-free card to go to work.
The people who are important to make sure that the transport, the production, distribution, and transport of the materials continues are they're getting letters from their companies to make sure if they do get stopped, that the police or National Guard or whoever, we don't know, sees that this is an essential person who is
right.
transporting goods to make sure that this country does not collapse. So yep.
the food and the how supplies do we help, will get there.
How do we help keep the country from collapsing? Stop panicking.
Yeah.
It doesn't do you any good psychologically. It doesn't do you any good physically. And ultimately, if you're panicking and you're trying to hoard stuff, it doesn't do any good to everybody around you in society. Here's some things you could look. Here's some things you could do. If you're listening to this show and you're a veteran, time to step up and show some of that training and leadership.
Bingo.
Okay. If your elderly neighbors refuse to stay home and let you go get groceries for them, offer to escort them so that they don't get assaulted and people steal the bundle of toilet paper out of their cart. Go be a guardian. Go be a guard dog. But offer, hey, can I shop for you? Is there anything you need? I need to go to the store. Look, my next door neighbor's able-bodied man. His wife is, you know, they're younger than me. There's a married couple. They've got two kids. When I went to the butcher shop, I messaged him, hey, I'm going to the butcher shop. You need anything? He says, my freezer's full, but if you find a pork butt roast, grab it for me. Well, there was no shortage at the butcher shop. The shelves were full. They were actively cutting meat and replenishing the shelves. There was plenty of food.
And that may
be. I found a pork shoulder. I texted him and said, hey, I found a whole shoulder for $30. I'll split it with you.
And that may be what you got to do. Your days of shopping at the grocery store and buying a pound of hamburger may be over.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to change your shopping ways. You may have to buy a shoulder or a butt or, you know, a loin.
Yeah.
The last time
I have a friend who has a meat grinder.
Yeah. Last time I was at the store, I bought a whole loin and sliced it up into boneless chops and roasts.
Yeah. But this is the opportunity for you to reach out and build community around you. Step out of your comfort zone a little and make sure that the elderly couple who lives behind you has everything they need. Now, I know the elderly couple who lives behind me has everything they need because their kids also live in this town and they have meetings every night. Like the kids all come to mom and pop's house with the grandchildren every night right now to make sure everybody's good and everybody has what they need. And if the kids need to go somewhere, because people are still working, people mm-hmm. are still going to work and producing. Okay.
Yeah. Rebecca and I just gave our neighbor lady up the road a dozen eggs because she couldn't find any, you know, our chickens are still producing, but we don't want to let everybody know that. Yeah, because next thing you know, everybody's going to be like, hey, can you give us a dozen? Can you?
No, but but at the same time, you can still share, you know?
Right.
Be, you know, look, be responsible, be thoughtful. Don't panic. Folks, we have to hold society together by being a society. This is not Mad Max. We're not out, you know, terrorizing the roads and shooting each other down for, you know, three cups of fuel.
This is easy compared to what could be.
Yeah, this is really, folks, come on. Yeah,
I mean, this is, we've still got internet and Netflix, for Christ's sakes.
Right?
This is nothing compared to what we've, you know, we've sat overseas. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I have spent 2.5 months at a time spinning circles in the Gulf with no comms.
Right?
You know, no communication with home, no messages, nothing, unless the Red Cross contacted the ship to let somebody know that somebody had died.
Sitting in the middle of the desert in the back of a 5-ton for 3.5 months, this shit is a breeze.
Yeah. Look, and veterans, again, the opportunity for you to step up and lead. This ain't nothing new. This is no different than being deployed.
Bingo.
In fact, this is far better than being deployed, unless you were a fobbit. You know,
yep.
You've got internet, you've got phones, you've got TV.
You're coming home every night to your family. You can
get pizza delivered still.
Just common decon when you come home.
Yeah, just
common sense.
Please, folks, we don't need to panic. Veterans, this is our opportunity to step up and set an example and be the leaders we were trained to be. And does that mean you might need to step out of your comfort zone? Sure, step out of your comfort zone. Even the guy who, you know, never made it past E4 still got leadership training.
Right. And unfortunately, you're going to come across the assholes out there that are going to be the toilet paper thief or going to knock down the old person for something. And that's when we got to stand up and shine.
Absolutely. Be decent to each other. Stay calm. And listen, worst case scenario, I've got a basket with about 300 mismatched socks. Toilet paper ain't a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I got a forest full of squirrels right behind my house if the socks don't work.
That's it, buddy. Turn them loose and let somebody catch them.
All we could do, folks, what we need to do as a society is, did anybody watch videos of people in Italy on lockdown singing from their windows? The streets, up and down the streets, are just ringing with song. We need to take a page from their book. Yeah. Ain't nothing else to do. We're on lockdown. Hey.
Every society before us has been in worse shit, bro.
Yeah. You know what? We got this. We can do this. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. Don't forget that there are other shows. DV Radio has multiple different shows. There's the Ruck Up podcast on Mondays. I couldn't tell you what time. Toden's Media Litter Sandwich. I still don't know what time that is. That's at Frag Out, Drag Out. I know that that's Fridays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Why do I know? Because I do the engineering for the show and sometimes sit in. Fill in for Nevermore. Of course, the flagship production, Barracks Talk, on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. And then we round out the week Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern with the Service Dog Show. Are you interested in supporting DV Radio? Check out patreon.com/DVRadio. You can become a patron and help support the station, because guess what? We don't get paid to do this. We do this voluntarily. It costs us, and the costs are increasing. Things are getting a little rough right now, and we could use your help. Do you enjoy the programming? Do you want to hear more programming? Help us pay for what we provide to you, because some of us are putting a lot of money out of our pockets in order to make sure that you listen to the content that you enjoy. Do you have an idea for a show? Have you hosted a show before? Do you have experience? Contact Bo. Email info@dvradio.net. Do you appreciate the information, news, and conversations that we have here on the Service Dog Show? We could use your sponsorship, especially now. Again, contact Bo at info@dvradio.net. Tell him you want to become a sponsor and you want to sponsor the Service Dog Show. We would be more than happy to accept sponsorship as long as you are on the same page with us as far as responsibility, accountability, and training, the art concept when it comes to handling a service dog. That's all we've got for you this week. Thanks once again for joining us. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.